One woman who has very much been part of our recent South African history is Barbara Hogan, anti-apartheid activist, former cabinet minister, and someone who has played a major role in the struggle in her own right, and was partner to the late Ahmed Kathrada. A very interesting article about her visit last Sunday to the women's jail on Johannesburg's Constitution Hill, where she was in prison in 1982 and 1983. And Barbara Hogan joins me now. Hello, Barbara. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
All right, you're currently the chairperson of the Western Cape Economic Development Partnership, so you're still playing an active role in economics and politics, but this was a trip to the past, and what was your emotion as you went back to the women's jail? What, are we talking 35 years since you were last there?
Well, I have been there on and off, but I don't go there regularly, and I didn't spend the bulk of my sentence there, but nevertheless, it was a hard period. You know, this last week I've been thinking to myself, what is it that I probably gained most from being in prison? And as I think of it always now, it was learning that there aren't absolutes. There were wardresses who were somewhat decent. There were prisoners who were wonderful. There were wardresses who were brutal. There were prisoners who had no conscience at all and would shop you in for anything. And it was learning to come to terms that morality is on a continuum and it's not an either-or that I think was my greatest challenge in prison.
Was it a physically extremely tough time?
No, we weren't in hard labor or anything like that. My bulk of my sentence was in Pretoria. You know, the thing was women. There was black women prisoners and with ourselves, we were never allowed to be together, is that it was always just a handful of us. Now, just imagine if you had to live virtually in the same space of just one tiny courtyard, separate cells and a kitchen in the passageway for a good 8 years with the same people, the same two, three people. It's very socially depriving. You know, the men like on Robben Island, they also had a very tough time, but there was lots of them, so you could choose who you liked. You could choose who your buddy was going to be. Here, you were with the same people, day in and day out. You know, we finally knew each other's stories. We knew what stories they were going to tell before they even started. And a great closeness develops there, but also you've got to be very careful because in that environment, there's no ways, if you create problems, that you can get out of the problems that you're in, you know, in terms of interactions.
Yeah, you are locked into that relationship, aren't you? You can't be brutally honest.
Yes, and you can't, like, you know, we all have arguments, maybe a disagreement about something. You can't go out and listen to some music because you don't have access to music. Mm. You can't go and watch a movie. You can't go for a walk. You're in the same space. And that teaches you how, in a way, to be kinder because you have to accept people with their faults. You might not like it, but you accept it. Because that's how we all are. None of us are perfect. We all irritate one another in another way, and we are all incredibly good to one another in another way. And I suppose that's the lessons that I brought back for me from prison.
Were your fellow inmates in that close compulsory circle, were they all political prisoners as well, or were they what are called common criminals?
Well, when I was awaiting trial for about 8 months, and then later, when I was sentenced, I was with ordinary woman prisoners. There weren't any other white woman prisoners at my time. And then for a year after I was sentenced, I was on my own because I was a political prisoner, which they wouldn't mix then with the normal prisoners. And then I was joined by one other. And then later by another person. And then it was sort of three, four, five of us at the most of the time.
Did it radicalize you? Did it make you bolder, stronger, more committed to what you believed?
You know, I had strong views about apartheid when I went in. And, you know, that was never an issue of it becoming stronger or less stronger. It was just there. I mean, I think we all know how awful and how wrong and unjust and everything apartheid was. But what it did give me an opportunity, and it sounds ironic, but it did give me an opportunity to read. And we studied through UNISA, and I got into economics in a big way. And just stretching myself intellectually was wonderful. And then we were allowed to make a small garden upstairs, because we were all upstairs in the little courtyard that we had. And so moving with the seasons, growing things, you know, it has a peace and a tranquility which you don't have outside. You don't buy anything for yourself. You don't buy your little bits of cosmetics that gets bought by the prison, you know, staff. So, you know, your needs are met. You have food, you exercise, and you're living a very, very calm life.
But that's a mindset, isn't it? Seeing it as a calm life and a positive opportunity when others, I suspect myself, in that circumstance, would view it as enormously depressing.
It was depressing. And look, there are terrible times. You know, the pettiness, the bureaucracy, the prejudice against us, the kind of things, you know, I don't want to even speak of. But
how do you feel about those people, though? How do you feel about the people that committed those? I mean, it's almost the petty brutality that's worse than the big scale stuff.
Yes, and let me say at once that I think at the bottom of the pecking order were black women prisoners. I'm not even talking just about the political prisoners, just ordinary prisoners. And I had a view into an awaiting trial reception room where these women were stripped and handled in such a violent and disgraceful way, which we were not, you know. The bad times for political prisoners is when they're under interrogation by the security police. And so, yes, you know, there's little things that you begin to understand. There are some people who've been so brutalized by that system, by just carrying this out, that there is nothing left inside of them but nastiness, a kind of an evil. And then there are others who grow within it, who still retain certain vestiges of humanity and insight into other people, and who aren't just there to make people's lives difficult, but have a broader vision of what a prison should be. And then there are others who are terrified, and they did things because they just had to. And there were others who tried to stand up against the system and lost miserably, but still you admired them. So, you know, you have different feelings towards different people. And, you know, that's what I was saying earlier on. Morality and the way people behave is not just good or bad. It's most of us are in between, you know, veering on either side.
And contemporary society is particularly bad about that. We're very binary. Social media, someone's either great or awful, bad or good. They're black or white. There's no gray in there anymore.
There's no gray anymore. You know, someone does something wrong and there's absolutely no sympathy. And I'm not talking about massive, because there's huge wrong that's been done. But, you know, there's no degrees of sympathy anymore, you know. You did that wrong, but I still like you because you're my friend, you know. There's none of that left anymore. We're annihilating each other in the public space.
We're often annihilating each other for something we did years before as well, which is doubly hard. Barbara, Women's Day, and after your role in politics and your continuing role, do you have a sense of any progress in the broader issue of women's rights in the country?
I do.
Good. I'm glad you said that.
Yes, I do. You know, if I think back to even myself, you know, a privileged young white woman, to the times in the 70s and things, women have made great strides. And I must, I salute so many of those people who led the way on that. there is a huge amount of bad stuff that's come in between that now. And, you know, the level of violence, the level of disregard for a woman is absolutely frightening. But, you know, when I see young women just following stuff and doing things and confident and moving ahead, and I'm not just talking about wealthy middle class or, you know, I'm talking about all kinds of women. It really gives me hope, because before then, you know, women were the cooks and the mothers, and that was it.
Barbara, look, thank you so much. I really appreciate it on this holiday for you chatting to us. It was a very interesting article by, I think, Greg Nicholson about your trip back to Constitutional Hill. And thanks for your insights today. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Barbara Hogan, currently chair of the Western Cape Economic Development Partnership, former cabinet minister, former activist, and as you just heard, someone who was in detention for a considerable amount of time and was, in his latter days, the partner of the late Ahmed Kathrada.